You're listening to Sipping on Some Crime podcast, hosted by Aaron. This podcast covers sensitive and triggering subjects, explicit language, and mature content which may not be suitable for children. As always, all parties are innocent until proven guilty.
Today will be a mini episode, Natasha Fugate Jones. Natasha, a 32-year-old single mother, would leave her grandmother's house to attend a party and would never be seen or heard from again. Her family believes there are those in the community that hold the answers to Natasha's disappearance, but they are too scared to come forward. Investigators believe with just a bit more of the puzzle, they could solve this case. Today, we are traveling back to Hazard, Kentucky. If you remember in episode 24, Joel Mark Wells also lived and vanished in Hazard, Kentucky, which we know is a relatively small town with the current population of just over 5,000 people. Hazard officials boast about the growth of their community, their local beautiful parks, their festivals, art attractions, theater venues, and it has a very southern community feel with a small local business and family-filled neighborhoods. There's plenty of fishing, swimming, hiking opportunities. It really looks like a nice place to visit. Fisty, Kentucky is an unincorporated town just outside of Hazard, and that's where this case begins. Natasha has her hometown on her Facebook listed as Fisty, but where she lives as Hazard, Kentucky. And living in a town with almost that exact population and living right outside of that town in an unincorporated section, I can truly relate to the small towns all close to one another, separated by large farm areas and the extremely tight-knit communities. Natasha is a single mother who seemed to rely on her family and help her raise her sons. You can see from just a few moments on her Facebook that she loved her two little boys to the moon and back. Natasha was known to have a drug habit that pulled her away from her boys physically at times, but never emotionally. No matter how long she was gone or how far she'd go in her absence, she never went more than a few days without calling her boys to remind them how much she loved them. In May 2015, Natasha was in an inpatient drug rehab in Harlan, Kentucky, when she decided she didn't want to stay, and she walked out of the program and showed up at her grandma, Ola Chafin's home, where her two little boys were also living. Ola said she let Natasha stay there because she'd never leave her out in the cold. She wasn't just going to abandon her. Natasha wouldn't stay long. On May 7th, 2015, while Ola was at a doctor's appointment in town in Hazard, Natasha would leave with a friend saying she would be back in a few days. When Natasha's grandmother returned from her doctor's appointment, the boys would tell her that their mother had left with a friend. That wasn't unusual for Natasha. Ola figured a friend was taking her to a doctor's, or she was going to go walk through the woods with this friend. Ola said there were times that Natasha would leave for a few days, and at first, it didn't seem out of the ordinary. Days would turn into weeks, then about 30 days later, and no word from Natasha, Ola knew something wasn't right. And after Natasha's son found a note that she'd left the boys, they knew it was time to call the police and report her missing. Natasha had wrote to her boys that she would be gone for a few days and told them not to be sad, that she was going to find a place for all of them to live together. She said she would be back. That's when they knew something was definitely wrong. Kentucky State Police would begin searching for Natasha right away, but they knew that they were at a major disadvantage starting 30 days later. They still believe today that that was and continues to be the biggest challenge in Natasha's case. Investigators would set out with search teams that went to work searching areas by plane, cadaver dogs, and using heavy machinery to look for Natasha or any clues that would lead them to her. After interviewing the family and friends, it was determined that the day Natasha left the house, she left with a friend, and their plans were to attend a party together. Natasha's friend would tell officers that before making it to the party, Natasha and her would run into a male acquaintance of Natasha, and she would decide to ditch the party and go with him. She said goodbye to her friend, and that's the last time her friend would ever see Natasha. When investigators tracked down the male acquaintance that Natasha had left with, he told them that Natasha had decided to go to the local strip mine with him and that while they were there, Natasha ran off into the woods and never came back. I know that's a very short description, but that is what is verifiable fact that I can give you. Now, if you look deeper into the case and take a dive into some of the forums and the Facebook posts, you can see that it seems like in town and in the area, there are people that believe they know exactly what happened to Natasha that day and who is responsible. Locals seem to have reasoned it out, why they know it's him, and they talk a little bit more about the alleged events that took place when Natasha and the unknown male were at the strip mine together. However, I'm not going to share all those details because it's truly rumors at this point until investigators say otherwise. I will put links on my webpage that you can follow that will allow you, if you're interested, to dive into that side of it. What we do know in the investigation at this point is that Natasha left her grandmother's house with a friend. The two had plans to attend a party until Natasha decided to instead leave with this male acquaintance. After investigators tracked down the male acquaintance, they would also track down the female friend that had picked up Natasha from her grandmother's home, and both of their retellings of the event do match up. Now, I can only assume that investigators pushed the male acquaintance for more details, like how did they get to the strip mine? Was the meeting planned up before the party, or was it just happenstance that they ran into each other? Why did she run off into the woods? Had they had an argument? Did he search for her? Why not report her missing? All the questions I'm sure we have, I'm sure they asked. I hope they did. The male acquaintance has not been named, and investigators don't say publicly if they have a person of interest in the case. Based off the information at hand, we can safely say that Natasha most likely goes missing May 7th, the day she left her grandmother's house. This is where you can understand why investigators say that the time between her leaving and her being reported has really caused so many issues with them being able to investigate. It doesn't stop them from solving it, but now you can understand why they say it was such a big issue. Investigators would continue their search, and in the beginning, tips were pouring in, and they were chasing down every lead until suddenly the tips just stopped. Skeletal remains would be found at the strip mine in November of 2019, and Natasha's family and the community are holding their breaths, awaiting answers. The remains were sent to Texas to be identified, and there has been no news release on those results. Investigators are saying this case is still unsolved and they are piecing the puzzle together despite not having the most important piece being Natasha. Josh Huff, the current lead detective on her case, says he's determined to solve this puzzle and bring her family answers. Shirley Fugate says it's been 6 years since she saw her daughter. She said Natasha was the light of her world. Despite the years that have passed since Natasha walked out that door never to be seen again, her family and especially her mother believes that there are those in the community that know exactly what happened to Natasha. Shirley said, quote, "Her blood is on their hands," unquote. Shirley has had to endure horrific, gruesome rumors about her daughter's murder, yet she doesn't have the evidence to prove these rumors true. Shirley said that she lives with the nightmares from these rumors and these stories every night that she lays her head down to rest. It replays in her head. Natasha's family and investigators are not giving up on this case. Despite $10,000 and over the years $15,000 reward for information on Natasha's disappearance, no one has come forward. As her sons grow older, they still just want their mom to come home. Detective Huff is working on the case every day. He is determined to bring those little boys answers about their mom. He said, quote, "There's one thing that this case actually taught me. To try someone for murder or someone else's death, you don't have to have the body. Unquote. I think that speaks volumes about the direction that this investigation is going. It's been 6 years, and I 100% believe this case can and will be solved. It might just be that this case continues to get public pressure, and more public pressure would start to make people who know what happened to Natasha that day to begin to have a conversation. I don't believe in a community that small that they can keep that secret forever, especially if there's a lot of public pressure applied. Ola says that they love Natasha and they're never going to stop looking for her. Let's help Natasha and her family by sharing her story in any format you can. Maybe we can put a little pressure on those that are hiding the truth. At the time of Natasha's disappearance, she was a Caucasian female with blonde hair and blue-green eyes. Natasha has an outline of a butterfly tattooed on her upper back, and her lower back, she has a tattoo of a flower. Her hair is naturally brown, but she bleaches it blonde, and it was bleach blonde at the time of her disappearance. She also has her ears pierced. If you have any information on the disappearance of Natasha Fugate-Jones, please reach out to the Kentucky State Police at 606-435-6069. Thank you so much for listening to another mini episode today. I wish I had so much more to share about Natasha, but I encourage you, if you're interested in her disappearance, please look into her case, because like I said, this one can be solved. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, I would truly appreciate if you hit that subscription button or took a moment to leave a review or both. Reviews and subscribers help others find this podcast, and it helps these cases get more listeners. Don't forget, when you see those missing and murdered posts, to hit share, like, and retweet. Every time we share a face, we get closer to solving a case. Until next time.